friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. Madison, North Florida, we sure welcome you today. If you're a return listener, we're so happy that you're part of the listening family right here on WMAF. And if you are a brand new listener today, would you be our special guest? We have a wonderful message to bring you, a word of warning and a word of hope from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And every warning of Scripture is because God is deeply, desperately in love with you. Oh, I'm going to say that again. God is deeply, desperately in love with you. For God so loved the world, and don't exclude yourself because of any reason, any failure. God loves you. He knows all about all of us and all of our sins and all of our failures. But God loves you, according to the Scripture, so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, do not ever exclude yourself from whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, the Scripture said, it's not His will that any perish. Don't ever exclude yourself from these great promises from this God who loved enough to take on flesh, go to the cross, bear our sins in His own body. Amen. Who am I? Who am I that a king? Oh, friend, I don't even believe that word king unless we understand king in the sense of God becoming flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ on that cross, suffering and dying for us. Friend, listen, more than a king, a great potentate has died for you. Amen. The God that created you took on flesh that He might take our punishment so He could legitimately forgive us. Now, I said He loves you today deeply and desperately. Make no mistake about it, those nails in His wrist did not hold Him to the cross, nor the guards of the Roman guards with their swords and spears. That's not what kept Him on that cross. What held Him to that cross was His deep, desperate love for you and for me. He could have called angels. You know, Peter tried to defend Him. And I know we haven't even announced our subject, but I just feel such an anointing today to speak to somebody that's been excluding yourself from the worthiness of God's forgiveness and grace. Friend of mine, none of us are worthy. That's why it's called grace that we are saved. Listen very, very carefully. The nails couldn't hold Him there. When they came to take Jesus, they asked Him, are you Jesus? And He said, I am. And when He said, I am, they fell back. And Peter tried to defend Him, and he pulled a sword when they tried to reach out and touch Jesus to defend Him. And He went for a man's head, and the man flinched just in time, and he cut his ear off. And Jesus reached down, picked up the ear, placed it back, and worked a miracle of healing. And the ear immediately knitted back to the man's head. And Jesus said to Peter, put up your sword. He put it up. I don't need you to defend me. If I wanted to be defended, I would call angels, thousands upon thousands of angels to defend me. See, the Bible calls Him the Lord of hosts, the commander and chief of heaven's armies. Praise God. Amen. He didn't need puny Peter to defend Him. He went willingly to the cross. Men thought they were taking Him there. No one took Him there. No one took Him there. He had the power to lay His life down. And bless God, He had the power to take it up again. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus today. He did it because He's deeply, desperately in love with you and me. Make no mistake about that. I don't know. I don't usually do this. Someone today that is listening to this broadcast is excluding yourself from this love, this mercy, and this grace. Friend of mine, today, don't, don't, don't miss this opportunity to receive this great gift that is offered you, not only of your sins forgiven, but the love that caused Him to do what He did to save you. God wants you to just be caressed by it. He wants you to be drenched in it today. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a watchword that we're talking about to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's Maranatha. 1 Corinthians 16:22 said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. He's going to be lost if we don't come to know Him as our Savior and follow Him as His disciples, because we love Him. Not because we're afraid of Him, but because we love Him. Amen. It is a separator between the professing church and the possessing church. Because just professing that you know Him isn't loving Him. There is a love for Jesus that comes into our life when we begin to appreciate what He has done for us on the cross. And it is a love that causes us to want to serve Him. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me, compels me to preach the gospel, to do His bidding, to want to obey Him. I love this man we used to sing from Galilee. For He has done so very much for me. He's taken all of my sin. He's let the Holy Ghost come in. I love that man from Galilee. Oh, friend of mine, if anyone doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, there is a word that is the watchword of your life. Whether you would, it's a terrifying word. It's anathema. And it simply means to be accursed, to be devoted to the direst of woes, to be doomed to destruction without hope of being redeemed. God can't redeem anyone, can't save anyone that He loves so desperately unless we will receive the gift that He offers. The gift that He offers. By grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, friend of mine, no one is going to be in heaven boasting about their righteousness. Everyone that gets into the gates of that great city, that holy place with those holy persons, is going to be there because of one thing. The blood of Jesus was shed on Mount Calvary that our sins might be forgiven. Ah, friend, it's going to be grace that is the anthem that we will sing throughout all eternity. We will sing about this wonderful love that has produced this wonderful grace and offered us this unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the next word is Maranatha. Let Him be anathema. Pause. Maranatha. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and every person that has ever lived is going to stand before Him. One of two ways. We're going to stand before Him as our Savior, our Redeemer, our Sovereign, and our King. Or else we're going to have to face Him as our Judge because we've rejected His offer to forgive us. We've rejected the gift that He has provided to us. Friend, someone today is excluding yourself. And I'm just praying with everything that is in me that before this broadcast is over, you will accept the forgiveness that He offers. And you will begin to get a grasp and an understanding that He doesn't love you because you're a perfect person or even a good person. You may have done some terrible things that you're terribly ashamed of. I want you to know God loves you today. Amen. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, I didn't come to seek the righteous and to call them to repentance. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And they criticized Him because He wanted to interact with people that recognized their need for a Savior, and He ate with publicans and sinners. Amen. And they said, He can't be a holy man and interact with these people. Listen, Jesus came knowing our sins. He didn't partake of anyone's sins, but He interacted with people that he might let them know of the love of God that was flowing through him to this fallen world. God gave his Son, hallelujah, and Jesus gave his life, and he did it willingly, and he did it freely, that we might be forgiven. So if any man love not the Lord Jesus, the only alternative to come into Christ is to face the judgment of God, beginning with the fact the greatest sin of all is that we rejected the Savior who came to save us and gave himself and suffered and died on Calvary. And to reject that offer leaves us in a state of anathema. But to receive this gift leaves us with the watchword of the early church, Maranatha. I'm deeply concerned today that this watchword of the first century Christian and down through the centuries is now being downplayed in the 21st century. We need to be looking more than any other generation for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. There is a secret coming called the rapture. The Bible speaks of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's this kind of preaching and teaching in the first century that coined the phrase, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, or Jesus will come. The Lord is come, and the Lord will come. Maranatha should be the watchword of the 21st century church. You see, the Bible said of that coming of the Lord, that secret coming for his church, there's a second coming where he's coming to judge the earth. And the Bible said every eye will see him. Every eye will see him, and the world will mourn because of him. Why? Because the watchword of the world is anathema. If we're honest about our sinful condition, that we're not ready to stand before God and give an account, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, the scripture says, no, not one. Every person on this planet, even at our best, is in need of a Savior, in need of his salvation. And God offers it in the form of a gift. It is the gift of God. He gave his Son. Jesus gave his life. He gave it up freely, suffered a torturing death. I can't imagine having the power to come off that cross that he had, that he had that kind of authority. He could have called thousands of angels, he told Peter, to deliver him. He didn't need Peter's puny sword. But he didn't do it. I like the song that we used to sing that said he didn't have to do it, but he did. Well, why did he do it? Because he's deeply, desperately in love with you and me. Enough to hang on that cross when everything in him cried for relief from the pain and the suffering. And yet he stayed on that cross because he loved you and he loved me that much. This is really, I'm trying to describe the indescribable. But God is showing us through the cross how much he cares about every one of us. Friend, I don't want to lose this holy anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Maranatha needs to become the watchword once again for the 21st century church. We need to be ready for the coming of Jesus, and we need to be traveling light. Hallelujah. Amen. Because his coming is very, very soon. And I know all the predictors have come, and they keep coming, and missing the fact that you can't pinpoint, you can't, no man, the scripture teaches, no man knoweth the day or the hour. Only the angels, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But friend, we can know the season. We can see a time designated as the last days. And I believe we're living, prophetically speaking, in the last of the last days. Looking at the prophecies of Scripture, I'm not going to dare try to pinpoint, but the watchword of the church was Maranatha, Lord come. And Jesus' warning was to even the church is to be ready for His coming, to live in a state of holy anticipation. Whoever has this hope, the Scriptures declare, purifies himself. We live in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Let me read from Matthew 24. It said, and this is the warning part to His people. Matthew 24, 43 and 44. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. This secret coming, called the rapture, takes place before the second coming. In the secret coming, we meet the Lord in the air. At the second coming, He stands upon Mount Olivet, and every eye will see Him, and the whole world will mourn because of Him. What brings us the greatest joy to think about? The secret coming of Jesus for His people, for His children, for those that are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That same Jesus will be faced as judge. See, there's only two ways to face Jesus, and we all will stand before Him one day. You can face Him as your Savior, Sovereign, and King, or you will face Him as your judge. Friend of mine, He doesn't want to judge anyone. It's not His will that any perish. The Scriptures are clear, but that all might have eternal life. He tells us as Christians to be ready. And He tells you, if you're not a Christian, to get ready by receiving Him as your Lord and personal Savior today. Therefore, be ye also ready, for an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. See, this Scripture, He's using an analogy. If a thief is going to come and rob your house, and you know when he's going to get there, you won't let him come in and take anything from you. If the police came and told me, you know, there's a thief coming down the street, he's going to be at your house. And we got so many houses to cover, we can't cover them all. But we just want to let you know, Mr. Venable, there's a thief starting at the end of your street, breaking into houses. He'll be to your house between 12 and 1. Guess what? Between 12 and 1. I'm going to be prepared, and I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to come in here, hurt my family, and take my stuff. No, he's not. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's not going to come in your house either. It's not just me. If we knew what hour he was coming, we wouldn't allow him to come in and steal from us. Well, Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. For those that have been sealed by the Holy Spirit because they received Him as their Savior. It's going to be a secret coming. It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be to meet Him in the air. That's the rapture, the coming for the church and the dead in Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I want to be ready for that first resurrection. Praise God. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death has no power. Praise God. Amen. I want to rejoice when I see my Savior, my Sovereign, and my King. I don't want to be afraid to look upon Him, because I know He's going to look at me as a man whose sins have been forgiven, not as a sinless man, but a man whose sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the only way that can happen is for me to receive Him as my Lord and personal Savior. One translation of this Scripture said, you must be ready all the time. Ready in the Greek word used means prepared to do something or to receive one coming. Praise God. What an appropriate Greek word. Be ready to receive one who is coming. I want to make some statements that I've made before, but I want to make them again, that I believe that can be biblically verified as prophetically accurate. We are living in the last of the last days, and Jesus Christ could return at any moment and not do the Scriptures any injustice. And we need to be ready all the time. All the time. Praise God. So in order to be ready when Jesus comes, we must be watchful. The parable about the 10 virgins awaiting the espoused groom is a message of preparedness to watch and be ready. Matthew 25:1-13. I want to read this again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." This is that secret coming we're talking about. "Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest we not have enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, buy for yourselves." See, that should have been done. They're not being selfish. They're saying, "You should have done this. You knew he was coming. He told you he was coming. Why aren't you ready to receive him?" And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." The New International says to keep watch. One paraphrase says, "Stay awake and be prepared." Another translation said, "Always be on the alert." This parable is a strong warning against professing Christ instead of possessing Christ. Oil is a type of the Spirit in Scripture. Romans 8 says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." He doesn't truly belong to him. When we are truly saved, Jesus comes into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. His abiding presence confirms that we belong to him. Ephesians 4:30 says speaks of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed in the Greek is like a brand, a sign of ownership. We are redeemed. We belong to God. He is our Father. We are His bona fide sons and daughters. We have oil in our lamps. His abiding presence by the Holy Ghost. He knows us by name. We are kept unto the very day of redemption. I like what the Amplified New Testament says, "By whom ye were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption." And it goes on to say, to bring to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly, patiently waiting for and expecting Him. Jesus is coming back, friend, for you and for me if you know Him. Jesus is coming back whether we know Him or not. The question is He coming back as our Savior, or is He coming back as our Judge? Oh, friend, I don't want to stand before that great white throne as Jesus looks with those eyes of fire upon every soul that has rejected the gift of salvation. and has persisted in our sin and refused to come to Him who loves us so deeply and desperately. What possible excuse will we have? Jesus lamented, and He put it this way, for what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The most heartbreaking, heart-rending part of being separated from God and punished will be that opportunity after opportunity has been refused. Don't let the enemy of your soul tell you that you are not worthy of this gift. None of us are worthy of this gift. That's what makes this gift so very glorious. None of us deserve this gift. None of us. This is what grace is all about. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is why that Jesus came in that manger. It's so He could go to that cross. Had He just come in the manger and lived and taught wonderful principles of righteousness and healed and worked miracles, we would still be lost without the shedding of blood. The Scripture declares there's no remission of sin. God is obligated by His holiness to judge our sinfulness. Ah, but in His deep love for us, He made a way for us to be forgiven while justice is still rendered. Ah, friend, He is just and a justifier of them that trust in Christ. How can He do it? He can't look over sin. He judges our sin in Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, this triune God, this mighty three in one, the second person of the Godhead, takes on flesh, leaves the glory and splendor of heaven, and goes to the cross. And upon that cross, He takes the punishment for the sins of the world. Whether the world receives Him or not, He has paid the price for the world, the whole world, to be saved, because it's not God's will that any perish. Don't ever exclude yourself from this wonderful offer of salvation today. Praise God. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to receive Him as your Savior? Have you received Him as your Savior? If not, His coming will represent judgment to you. But God wants that to change this very day. Would you, right where you are, if you're not ready, should He break through the clouds of the eastern sky right now? As the lightning shineth from the east to the west, so shall it be in the day the Son of Man cometh. Would you receive Him today as your Lord, as your personal Savior? Repent of your sin and receive the gift of grace and love and mercy, the gift of salvation. And let this Christmas coming up be the greatest Christmas of your life, where your destiny changed, your eternal destiny, and then begin to live in holy anticipation of His soon coming and sure coming. Christian, is Maranatha the watchword of your life? Is Maranatha the theme of every day? Do you live in holy anticipation? Is this hope purifying you of getting entangled with this old world? God wants it to be today. Ah, friend, Maranatha. Jesus is coming soon. Let's live for Him. Let's love Him. Let's serve Him while we have the opportunity. For the hour is late and the harvest is great. We love you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
I found it hard to see if you were coming. Why was there such a long delay? At times I thought you lied, or else
choose.